Praised be Jesus and Mary. Anyone who's ever been to Assisi, besides visiting the great, the grand Basilica of St. Francis up on the hill, in the actual city itself, has definitely, I believe, had to have visited also the little church of Our Lady of Angels down in the valley, down in the plain, below the city of Assisi. Now, it's enshrined in a greater basilica, but the little church still remains. And if you haven't seen it, well, go back to Assisi and see it. You can't really miss it. You can't really say to have seen Assisi if you haven't seen Our Lady of the Angels. Why? Because it is there that the Franciscan order was born, that Our Lady, in this Marian womb of hers, gave the inspiration to St. Francis to found the Franciscan order, gave it birth, gave it growth, gave it blessings. It is there also, under the light of Our Lady of the Angels, on that date that we Franciscans of the Immaculate started as Casa Mariana, as the Marian House of Frigenta, 44 years ago. So it's a feast very dear, precious, and special to all Franciscans, to us Franciscans of the Immaculate, doubly so. And it is also the feast day on which, through the intercession of St. Francis and through the intercession of our Blessed Lady, Queen of the Angels, that we can gain the indulgence of the Portiuncula, the pardon of Assisi. So today, for the sake of brevity, we'll let Bishop Theobald of Assisi do all the talking, excerpting, paraphrasing from his pastoral letter. He's the first one to give a full account, a full historical account of how this indulgence of Assisi came to be. In 1310, he wrote a pastoral letter, and he knew the facts from Brother Marino, who was the nephew of Brother Maceo, who was the companion of St. Francis and an eyewitness of these events. Bishop Theobald, we begin. I quote, "When St. Francis was living at St. Mary of the Portiuncula, one night the Lord revealed to him that he should go to the Supreme Pontiff, Pope Honorius III, who at that time was living in Perugia, very close to Assisi, and ask him for an indulgence in favor of the same church of St. Mary of the Portiuncula that he had just repaired. This was the church in which our Lord from the crucifix spoke to St. Francis, saying, 'Francis, look, my church is all falling to ruins. Go repair it. Go rebuild it.' And St. Francis did so. So Brother Maceo of Marignano, so St. Francis woke up the following morning, called his companion, Brother Maceo of Marignano, who lived there with him, and they both went in front of the Pope. St. Francis presented himself to him and said, 'Holy Father, recently, in honor of the Virgin Mother of Christ, I have repaired for you a church. I plead your holiness to declare an indulgence in favor of the same church.' The Pope answered, 'Well, such a thing is not fitting. It's not customary to just that easily grant an indulgence to a church. Back then, indulgences, plenary ones especially, were hard to come by, were hard to get.' But the Pope was intrigued and said, Well, indicate to me at least how many years you're asking for. You're asking for such an indulgence.' St. Francis then answered, 'Holy Father,'" he was in familiar terms with the Pope, "'Holy Father, if it is pleasing to your holiness, do not give me years, but souls.' An indulgence is usually granted for a number of years, but St. Francis said, 'Do not give me years, but souls.' So the Pope then asked him, 'Well, what do you mean by souls?' And St. Francis answered, 'Holy Father, if it's pleasing to your holiness, I desire that whoever comes to this church after having confessed and shown contrition for his sins and after having been absolved by a priest should be pardoned from the pains and guilt in heaven and on earth, from the day of his baptism until the hour in which he enters this aforementioned church.' The Pope answered, 'Francis, you're asking for too much, and it's not customary for the Roman Curia to grant such an indulgence.' Blessed Francis, however, was not discouraged and answered, 'Holy Father, what I am requesting does not come from my initiative, but from the one who sent me, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who it was that appeared to St. Francis in a dream and said to him, "Go ask for this indulgence from the Pope." So the Pope, touched by grace, realizing the divine initiative of St. Francis, said, immediately changing his mind, pronouncing three times, "It pleases me that you receive this favor." And the indulgence against all human hope was granted at that time, to get a plenary, to just to put it into context. Plenary indulgence was granted to those who went as pilgrims to the Holy Land, to Rome, to Santiago de Compostela, who undertook grave difficulties, long pilgrimages. What was St. Mary of the Angels compared to those? And yet, through the intercession of Our Lady, through the insistence of St. Francis, it was granted. Brother Maceo, who was there, an eyewitness, transmitted this information to his nephew, Brother Marino, who often heard these words from the mouth of his uncle. This Brother Marino, we have just mentioned, died recently in the Lord, around the year of the Lord, 1307, full of days and holiness. The pastoral letters dated 1310. On the day this indulgence was to be proclaimed publicly, Blessed Francis preached in front of the bishops of Assisi, Perugia, Todi, Foligno, Spoleto, Nocera, and Gubbio. St. Francis was holding a written document in his hand and summed up the meaning of the event like this. He said, "I want to send all of you to paradise and announce to you an indulgence that I have received from the mouth of the Supreme Pontiff." "I want to send all of you to paradise," St. Francis said. That's how he began his homily that day. "I want to send all of you to paradise," because this is precisely what an indulgence does. It's the remission of all temporal punishment due to sin, which remains even after sin has been forgiven. It does not substitute confession for all Catholics, and this is true today, yesterday, today, and forever. For all Catholics who have access to confession, the ordinary and the only means of having their sins remitted after baptism is confession. But an indulgence takes away that temporal punishment which is still due to sin even after it's forgiven. If you die after a plenary indulgence, you go straight to heaven. How and why is this possible? Well, we pass the word to Paul VI, who explains to us, and it's easy to understand the theology of indulgences if we understand these three easy steps. Oftentimes, whenever we hear of Martin Luther, we hear of him abolishing indulgences, which were an evil in the church. It's not so. There were abuses which concerned indulgences, but indulgences have stayed, and they're here to stay, and the church still promotes them, as we're doing today. You just need to understand three easy steps to understand an indulgence. Pope Paul VI says, and we paraphrase him, "It is a divinely revealed truth that sins bring punishment inflicted by God's sanctity and justice. Our sins can't go unpunished. These must be expiated either on this earth through the sorrows, miseries, and calamities of this life, and above all through death, through a Christian acceptance of death, or else in the life beyond through fire and torments or purifying punishments. Either here or in purgatory, we have to expiate our sins. And it's better to do it here on earth. Because as St. Padre Pio used to say, one day in purgatory is like 70 miserable years on earth. It's better to do it here and go straight to heaven afterwards. 2, the merits of Jesus Christ, of our Blessed Mother, of all the saints, constitute the treasury of the church. This treasury is infinite because our Lord's merits, his passion, is infinite. And we all have access to it through the communion of the saints, through our being members of the mystical body. 3, an indulgence in the church is when the church, making use of its power as minister of the redemption of Christ, not only prays, but by an authoritative intervention dispenses to the faithful, suitably disposed, the treasury of satisfaction which Christ and the saints won for the remission of temporal punishment. With the result that, if we are rightly disposed, either a portion or all of the temporal punishment due to sin, our purgatory time, is remitted to us. But this does not happen automatically. There are conditions to acquire today's indulgence. 1, you have to perform the work prescribed by the church, this expiatory work. So between noon of August 1st, yesterday, and midnight of August 2nd, today, you have to visit the Porciuncola. If you can't do that, because it's far away, you can visit any Franciscan church around the world. And if you don't have one nearby, you can visit even any parish church or a cathedral, a co-cathedral church in your diocese. Then recite the Our Father and the Creed while you make that visit. Then the three other conditions can be done either 20 days before or 20 days after. Sacramental confession, Holy Communion, prayers according to the intentions of the Holy Father. One Our Father, one Hail Mary are sufficient. Could not be easier than this to gain the remission of all the temporal punishment due to our sins, to prepare ourselves a place in paradise. The only thing difficult about this, the only difficult condition, is the one that we make difficult, and that's this: detachment from any and all sin. And if this condition is difficult, that's because we make it difficult. Even if we fulfill all the other conditions perfectly, scrupulously, as best as we can, but we remain attached to our sins, even only venial ones, if we haven't decided firmly and resolutely to break it off with all our sins, even venial ones, if we still want to do them, well, the indulgence will have no effect, or at best it will have a partial one, and we'll still have to be cleansed in purgatory of that attachment we don't want to give up here on earth. So I went to send you all to paradise, St. Francis said, and I make his words mine. I want to send all of you to paradise. I myself want to go to paradise, and a Christian shouldn't desire purgatory. It's not for the greater glory of God. We shouldn't ever aim for purgatory. We should aim and desire paradise. So let's thank Our Lady today for having given us this gift of the pardon of Assisi, but more importantly, rather than just thanking her and doing nothing about it, let's make good use of it. Let's have our purgatory time canceled. Let's delete these attachments to sin which keep us bound here on earth. Let's put this gift to good use. Praised be Jesus and Mary.